On episode one of A Duff Said.
What we've been through, this game in no way, shape, or form defines what this team has been through. Basketball is a game. It is just a game.
We'll be joined by Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart girls basketball coach Damon Brown. That's A Duff Said. This is the first edition of my new podcast, A Duff Said. Thanks for listening. And thank you to my old friend back home in Indiana. Ben Bertoli was the one who came up with the name A Duff Said. A while back on my Facebook page, I was looking for some suggestions on what we should call this podcast. I've been thinking about doing this for a while, but I didn't know what a good name for it would be. So I put it out there on Facebook, I asked for some suggestions, and Ben is the one that came up with the name A Duff Said. Obviously a play on the words, enough said. And so I said, okay, here are some of the more popular ones out there. What do you guys think it should be? And this, A Duff Said, is what we landed on. So that's what we're going with, and we move forward. Damon Brown has been a girls basketball coach for 16 years, and that's who I'll be talking to on this first edition of A Duff Said. Now, for the last decade, he has been the girls basketball coach for the Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart Irish. Back in 2014, he coached the girls to a state championship. His wife, Keisha, who was battling cancer at the time, was able to make it out to that game to cheer on her husband and his team. And sadly, within a month after that, she passed away. As you can expect, that was a very difficult loss for Damon Brown, and he had to take some time off from coaching. But he came back a short time later, and it looked like last season, Brown and the Irish were on track for a second state championship. Back on March 15th, the Irish took on Lenawee Christian in the state semifinals. Now, up until that point, the Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart girls basketball team was undefeated. Now, they battled Lenawee all the way into overtime, but they came up short in that game, 46-44. Now, this time of year, it's all on the line. And the pressure could not be any higher for these kids playing in these postseason tournaments. No one wants to be that guy or girl that has to walk off the court on the losing end on the scoreboard. Now, if you're a kid and you're playing in the postseason, you suffer a loss. And you forget about everything that led up to that moment. You know, never mind all the practices, all the games that you played in front of your home fans with them cheering you on, and you were playing in front of all your friends in the student section. You know, forget all those bus rides where you guys were celebrating a win on the road and you were like singing songs and telling stories and jokes and whatnot. You can forget about all the stats, all the prior accomplishments. When you're walking off that court and you just took a big L on your record, that's all you can think about. It's like for a moment in time, the world has just ended. And as a member of the media, we get that. We totally do. You know, one of the questions I always get asked as a member of the media is, why do you talk to the losing players and coaches after they just suffered a heartbreaking defeat? Sometimes the answer I give is that, you know, as a member of the media, we're your connection to you, the fan, and them, the player. Now, it would be so easy for us to just write about the fact that they lost and not even give their side of the story. But then we'd be doing them a huge disservice because we want to get their perspective on what took place that led to that defeat. But sometimes when you are talking to those kids, they don't want to give you those answers. They're really kind of shut down at that moment. A lot of them are just feeling a lot of negative emotions. They're upset. They're sad. They're frustrated. And they just don't feel like talking. And a lot of them don't. But then you get a moment like what Damon Brown gave us last March 15th in the state semifinals of the girls basketball state tournament. I had not met Damon Brown up until that moment that he was on the podium that night. And within minutes of hearing him speak, this guy almost had me in tears. If you've ever seen that show on NBC, This Is Us, it was kind of like watching an episode of that. It was a very dramatic moment, but as you're about to hear, it was also a very powerful moment.
I look at where we've come over these past 4 years, and I look at, you know, 4 years ago, I decided not to coach. I stopped coaching. Lost my wife to cancer, gave up basketball, didn't have any energy. But along came these players here. And, you know, we've been through these last 4 years together. You know, the amount of, and that's why I think we're so happy with each other, because what we've been through, this game in no way, shape, or form defines what this team has been through. You know, we've held each other's hands through the darkest times. They've been through it with me, you know, in times when I think of my wife and how much she would love to be here. And I know she's in the stands tonight because this is what she loves this time of year. But these girls, they're my connection to her. You know, we came down here last year. We played for Hayden. We played for Hayden and her family. You know, Hayden lost her mom last year. And so, you know, but nobody knows that. You know, that's why this game of basketball, it's just a game. It is really just a game. What we have here is more important than any score, and no score ever defines who we are and what we've been through. To overcome loss, to be there for each other, to pick each other up when someone's having a down day. I mean, basketball is a game. It is just a game. And I've had the pleasure of coaching these girls, some of these girls, 4, 3, 2 years in this game of basketball. But these girls are all winners in the game of life in my book.
Now, I had a chance to talk to Damon Brown recently about that evening, and that conversation is where we pick up things now on A Duff Said. So, Coach, I recently spoke to another coach who told me that as a motivating factor for his players, he tells them, "Hey, guys, I don't have losing speeches for after the game." But we all know that eventually coaches are going to have to make them. So as the final horn sounds that night and you're walking off the floor with your girls, what are you thinking at that exact moment?
You know, I was sad for the girls because they had a pretty high goal that season. And, you know, for me, it's never about me. It's about the girls. And so I felt really, really sad for them. I felt that I let them down, that I didn't coach my best game. And, you know, I'm pretty hard on myself as a coach and as a person in life. I take a lot of responsibility for stuff, some stuff that I have no control over. So I've always worked on that skill there. But when I walked in the locker room, and you always prepare that speech and you always want to thank your seniors, and I walked in that locker room and to hear the laughter and the smiles and the jokes, that just reminded me that, you know, it was really, you know, this was just a game, you know, and that's where that whole concept came from. I actually said that in the locker room first. I'm like, this is just a game. You know, we have a great time with each other. We had an amazing journey. And I always tell the girls, it's not about, you know, the ending, the final score. It's about the journey along the way. It's about the memories that you make. And so it was an easy speech to give because, you know, they helped me. They crafted that speech for me by just their own emotion, their own how they handled the situation. And you can see how positive they were. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, I think I said before, they weren't sad about that they lost. They were sad they never had a chance to play with each other again. And for me as a coach, you know, and I also work in higher education, so I work with college students every day. And, you know, to see kids at that age get it, that it's more than about a game, it's more than about a trophy, it's about the experience and the journey and the relationship. You know, that's what makes it more special for me, and it makes it satisfying for me that they get it. At the end of the day, they understand what this is all about.
One of the things you touched on that night at the podium, and this is something that really stuck with me, there's a lot of things that go on throughout the course of a season for a team that a lot of people, and this includes myself and the media, that we just don't know about. And you guys certainly went through a lot as a group together, and you had to deal with a lot of personal losses and tragedies, and yet you were still able to get to the highest plateau in your sport. How were these girls able to overcome all that?
They by pulling together, you know, and I think that's the only way you can describe it. I mean, you look at, you know, I lost Keisha, during Hayden the year before, you know, one of our starters, Hayden Williger, she lost her mom. You know, we're battling the whole season, not knowing, you know, how that's going to play out. You know, we're rushing to get Hayden back from games. We don't know, you know, if he's going to be able to see her when her mom passes. And I mean, you know, that was an emotional roller coaster for the girls of the team. But they rallied around each other. They rallied around Hayden. You know, and Hayden was just, and she was the rock of our team. You know, she's one of those kids that, you know, wasn't going to light up the stat sheet, but she was a girl that did all the little stuff. She was our nuts and bolts. She was our spirit of our team. And so to see her and her family go through that, it was heartbreaking. It was really, really heartbreaking. And, of course, Hayden's older sister, Riley, was the young lady who hit the game-winning shot in the 2014 state championship game. So I've known those girls for years. And so we just rallied around each other. you know, also during the season, Megan Nowak lost her uncle to cancer. And so we were just, you know, it was just an opportunity for us to just continue to come together when it could have been really easy for us to pull apart. And I'm so happy for the girls and how they handle those situations, because it would have been really easy just to say, I can't show up for their coach, I can't do it today. But they were always there for each other. And so that's what I think made that group so special, because it wasn't just about basketball, it was about life. Like they were going through some real life situations. It had nothing to do with a team pressing us. It had nothing to do with a team playing a boxing one against us. It had everything to do with life. And how they came together and handled that situation shows how mature they were well beyond their years. And as a coach, you sit back and be amazed at that, because you don't know how that's going to play out. And, you know, they made it happen because of the love they had for each other. And they had love that we had for each other as well.
We're talking with Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart girls basketball coach Damon Brown here on A Duff Said. Now, Coach, I want to rewind the clock back to 2014 for a second. That year, you unfortunately lost your wife, Keisha, to cancer, but you were also able to give her an amazing gift. You won the state championship that year as coach of the Irish, and she was in the stands that night to see that. How did that sequence of events play out?
She actually put off a doctor's appointment that week before because she wanted to be at the game. She knew what we kind of knew what the prognosis was going to be, and hindsight 2020, we kind of figured it out. And she knew that she wanted to be in the gym. She didn't want to be anywhere else other than the gym. So she was rather frail and rather skinny, but she sat there and enjoyed the whole game.
What was it like for you knowing that she was there for you that night?
Well, you know, I got into coaching because of her. You know, I was a basketball official going into it. Of course, she was a basketball player, you know, All-American player at Tulane, played professionally for a few years overseas. You know, she was part of the first group of NBA, WNBA players to try out for the WNBA. So she was a basketball person in our family. When she made the decision to move to Michigan, you know, I was coaching up and down the road to Lansing there, you know, 3-4 nights a week, and I quickly realized that that wasn't a way to start a relationship. So I gave up officiating and decided to join her on the bench and started coaching. So everything I know about coaching, I learned from her.
So essentially, you're putting the whistle down, you're taking the stripes off, you're putting on a suit, and you're going to the sidelines learning how to coach. Was it difficult to make that transition, even though you are making it for Keisha?
You know, it wasn't, actually, you know, because, you know, something about in your body and your mind, you know, it's the right thing to do. So it was really easy. And it got a chance for us to be in the gym. I loved being in the gym with her. We were total opposites in the gym. She was very intense, very serious. I was the jokester, so I was the one that was always trying to keep the girls loose, keep them, you know, out there having a good time. But then I realized, too, that, you know, you got to be focused. And so really it wasn't, but I had to learn a lot, I will tell you that. I didn't know anything about coaching. You know, when I first started coaching, the game was moving way too fast. And, you know, with her by my side, she really taught me how to understand the game, how to coach the game. More importantly, how to coach the girls. I mean, because that's different in itself, coaching girls. And, of course, me being a guy, you know, it's a little bit different. So, but I learned a lot from her, and, you know, I'm always indebted. And I always thank her before every game during national anthem. I close my eyes, and I thank her for the opportunity and the lessons that she gave me, both on and off the court, about how to be a good coach.
How would you describe Keisha as a coach?
She was a tremendous coach. Of course, she coached the boys at Sacred Heart to the 2006 state championship game. So, I mean, as a family, we, you know, basketball's in our blood. So, you know, for her to be there, that's something we always talked about, was winning the state championship. You know, she got there with the boys, and unfortunately, they didn't win. But for her to be in the stands and to see her excitement, and every time I watch that game now, I just look for her and to see that excitement when Riley Swilliger hit that 3-point shot with 20 seconds left in the game to steal it. I mean, to see that little bit of emotion out of her, it still gives me goosebumps to this day.
So when you get to the sidelines at the 2014 state championship game, there is so much riding on that night. You guys are playing for a state title, but at the same time, you just don't know how much time you have left with your wife. Was it at all difficult for you to be out there that night?
You know, it's funny. As a family, once we got on the court, we tuned everything else out. That was the basketball court is our quiet place. It's our space where we can don't have to worry about anything else. And so we both were like that. You know, she coached. She bought cancer for 7 years, and she never missed a game when she was at Sacred Heart or at Alma College. She was 5 years their coach down there. She never missed a game. never missed a practice. And so that was our place where we can go and tune everything else out. And so she would, if I wanted to focus on her, she wouldn't let me. It was about, you know, it was about the girls, it was about the game. And so I was always thankful for that. And even in 2014, you know, there's a picture when there's a picture of her, Angel, and myself just hugging after the game, all of us in tears, because that was, you know, we all worked for that. We talked about that. And for us to get it as a family and to share that with the Sacred Heart community, that was really, really special.
We're talking to Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart girls basketball coach Damon Brown here on A Duff Said. Now, Damon, as we had this conversation, you're at your daughter Angel's travel volleyball game. And for those of you listening, that's the noise you hear in the background on Damon Brown's phone. You were telling me before we started this actual conversation about how strong the bond is between you and Angel. How have you guys been able to, if you can forgive the expression here, rebound from Keisha's passing?
Well, you know, a lot of my daughter is just like her mom. She's a strong, strong girl, I was able to rebound because of Angel and how she handled that entire situation. I'm still shocked to this day, to know that your mom's losing you and the most important woman in your life. I've never seen my daughter cry like that day when Keisha was in the hospital and she told her that she was dying. But Angel's a strong, strong kid, and she gets that from her mom. And so we've just gotten closer over the years. It's just the two of us. And so we've learned to be there for each other. There are nights when we, especially around the holiday season and this time of year, it's a little bit quieter. We cry a little bit more this time of year because it's the time of year that our families really enjoy tournament time and holidays, of course, as well. But she's just an amazing girl. And, I don't know where I would be if Angel wasn't in my life because that was such a devastating loss for me. Of course, I lost my mom to cancer back when I was 18. And so I think Angel and I have that in common. We both lost our mothers. So we kind of lean on each other a lot. And so it's very special. It's a very unique bond. And I'm so thankful that she's here to be able to help me through it. And I'm sure I help her through it as well.
So you have your daughter Angel, and that relationship could not have been any stronger in guiding you through this difficult time for you. But the passion for basketball, it kind of went away for a little while, and you had to walk away from it.
I lost the joy, and that's the funny part. I tell people all the time, but after that 2014, after April came, I just didn't have any energy to do anything. I lost my. I'm a very funny, outgoing, positive kind of guy, and I just couldn't find the energy. Of course, in that kind of situation, I just spent a lot of time in my own little shell. But I didn't want to keep the girls and support the program from moving forward. So I did kind of help out. I got a little summer open gyms, and I helped out in the gym. And I told the girls up front and the school, I don't have it in me right now. I just can't do it. But I definitely want to see the program moving forward because there was still a lot of good players in the program. And so, I just spent time with Angel. We did a lot of traveling that summer. Of course, going back and forth to Keisha's hometown in Louisiana to be with her family and be there for them and just took some time to ourselves. And then during that summer, end of our summer stuff, it just kind of hit me that, this is where I need to be. And I think part of it was Keisha telling me as well that that's where I need to be because that was, that was us. And for me not to be on the court, I don't know what I would have done. That's just how our family, that was our special place. And as long as I'm on the court, I always feel Keisha's next to me. So no matter where I'm at, as long as I'm in a gym somewhere and there's a basketball being played, I always feel Keisha's presence.
What was it about the girls at Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart that made you want to come back?
Sacred Heart is just such an amazing, amazing place. And, for a guy who's, and for a family, who wasn't from Mount Pleasant, Michigan, I'm from Youngstown, Ohio. Keisha's from Morgan City, Louisiana. I happen to work at CMU. And for a school and a community to embrace us, it's really, really special. And so, to be with those girls, a lot of them, I coached them as they were in middle school, and then to watch them come up and play in high school, I just had a special connection with them. I felt really, there was a part of me that felt I couldn't leave them. I like to finish everything I start. And so when I finally got the energy and the spirit back to want to be back in the gym, it was a no-brainer. And I felt sorry for, at that point in time, Sophie Ruggles, who was a freshman. She had just moved to Mount Pleasant. That was her first summer in the gym with us. So she had no idea what was going on. And so in the summer, our last practice, I walked in the gym and I told the girls, hey, your new coach is in the hallway. I'm going to go out and get him you know, I'm a Freeman and douche to y'all. You know, you talk about the silence that came over the gym. And when I walked out the gym and walked back in the gym and told them I'm back, you know, the girls just went nuts. And it was just that's a moment I would never forget, because that just shows the amount of love that we have for each other. You know, and Sophie was just in tears, and she just had, again, she had no idea what's going on, but I think she felt it was something special. And to share that moment with those girls, that's just one of the many wonderful and different coach-player-type moments that we've had at Sacred Heart over the years.
The day after you make that speech following the state semifinals loss last year, I share that video out on my professional Facebook page, and the response to it is pretty overwhelming. A lot of people were saying how proud they were to be a part of Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart. A lot of people saying how proud they are to be a member of the Irish. And you even get comments like, you know what, Damon Brown, that's the guy I want coaching my own daughter. I'm sure you get those kind of comments a lot. But if there is one message that you hope that people took from what you said that night, what would it be?
I think as coaches, we have a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to help mold the next generation of adults and citizens. And, you know, I don't coach for wins and losses. I really don't. Yes, I like to win. But at the end of the day, I'm in that gym every day to help young people and prepare young people for this game called life. And that's the most important thing to me. If we can, you know, I look at the last team that my wife coached at Alma College. You know, they were 0-24, but the lessons that those girls learned that last season prepared those girls for life, and how to handle adversity, how to handle when things don't go your way. You know, those are things going to happen every day. And as coaches, we have the responsibility to make sure that when parents entrust their children with us, that that should be our number one goal. That we are preparing our children, those young boys, those girls, for life after the game of basketball. You know, winning is nice. Of course, everybody wants a trophy. But at the end of the day, if you can't be a winner in life, then as coaches, we have failed. And so I work hard every day to make sure that, yes, my girls prepare to win, but more importantly, they're prepared to win in the game of life. And that's my main focus every day I walk in the gym, is can I help these young women, these young girls, be better citizens so that when they leave Sacred Heart and they leave my tutelage as a coach, that they can walk out this world with their head held high, they know how to handle adversity, they know how to set goals for themselves, and more importantly, they know how to work towards those goals and how to accomplish those. And you know, if you come a little short, they know how to handle that as well. And so that's my goal. That's my thing. You know, winning is nice, but at the end of the day, you know, it's not the end game for me. And it's funny, you know, you look at all of our, we've been in that podium, you know, four times during the last 5 years at Sacred Heart in that Final Four. And, you know, if you look at the previous press conference, they would probably be pretty similar, because the girls understand that, you know, this is a small piece of their entire life. And their experience that they've had hopefully prepares them for life after basketball.
When that time comes, when you and the girls walk off the court for the final time together, how do you hope people will remember you and the girls that you coached at Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart?
You know, I hope that they remember that we were a hardworking team, that we were fun to be around. But more importantly, I hope they remember they were amazing citizens and they're amazing people, that they played the game the right way, that they won and lost games the same way, that they held their heads up high, and they treated the game and their opponents and the officials with respect. And that's one thing that, being a former official myself, you know, I don't tolerate the yelling at officials, because I know what that feels like. And so I always tell my parents and my players that we're going to respect the game, and the officials are part of the game. And so we've got to make sure that we treat the game with respect, and more importantly, that we serve as good role models for the next generation. You know, our program is not successful because of what happened last year. This program is successful because of what happened starting back in 2000 when I was the JV coach, and the team started changing the culture of the basketball program at Sacred Heart. Before I started even coaching, that's when that culture changed. And so we played the game the right way. We played hard, but more importantly, we respect the game, we respect our opponents, and we respect the officials. And I think anybody who's played against us, who's seen us play, they will see that. And when it's all said and done, and I hang up the whistle for the sneakers for the last time, you know, I hope that that's what people say about the girls' program that I've had the privilege of leading these past 15 years, or 11 years as varsity coach. that, you know, he played the game, he coached the game the right way, and his girls played the game the right way.
You just heard my conversation that I had with Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart girls basketball coach Damon Brown. A big thank you goes out to Damon Brown for being a part of this first ever episode of A Duff Said. Now, as I was putting this episode together, the Irish were in action in the district semifinals back on Wednesday, March the 6th. The Irish lost a close one to Fulton, 46-43. But rest assured, Damon Brown let his girls know after that game that the wins on the court are not as big as the ones off it. And now here's a look at what's in store for you on episode 2 of A Duff Said.
Growing up, obviously, it's always what I've wanted. I never really saw it coming until the very first coach talked to me. And since then, I had a couple more coaches, and I just saw it progressively getting better and better. I was like, maybe I might actually get a chance to do what I've wanted. And ever since that moment, I've actually been excited slash nervous to get to the next level. But, yeah, I can't wait.
Jack Townsend had a great run on the football field at Freeland High School. Kevin Townsend was with him every step of the way as both his father and his coach. You'll hear what that relationship was like, as well as what's in store for Jack now that he's moving on to play football at Albion College. That's going to do it for this edition of A Duff Said. Keep listening, because if Duff said it, it must be true. Because that's what A Duff Said.